Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and again the Associated Press, and actually now Governor Spitzer's office, confirming that he will make a brief statement to the public at 11:30 this morning. WNYC and other news organizations reporting that that will be Governor Spitzer's resignation. With me now, a Democrat and a Republican from the state legislature, Assemblyman Richard Brodsky, Democrat from Westchester, and Republican State Senator Marty Golden, a Republican from Brooklyn. Mr. Brodsky, Mr. Golden, welcome back to WNYC.
Nice to be back. Brian.
Richard Brodsky, your thoughts at this transitional moment?
Well, you know, there's a bizarre quality to this, that is the first human reaction people have. When you step back and think about how we got here and whether these behaviors, these incredibly self-destructive behaviors, are echoed in his public performances and the way he behaved, you get to some, I think, disturbing and upsetting conclusions. This era of confrontation, name-calling, making people into evil if they disagree, is over. And the one thing I can say with authority about David Paterson is he's very smart, he's a decent, sweet-tempered, and funny guy, and as your previous guests were saying, he's a genuine progressive. In many ways, Elliot was not. That to which he was entitled, I hasten to add. But I expect...
Such as on what? Can you make that specific for us?
Yeah, I think on economic policy generally, Elliot was something of a royalist. Take a look at tax policy. We've had proposed by Governor Spitzer a set of fees, taxes, individual taxes, not broad-based taxes, fares, tolls, tuition increases, that were focused primarily on the middle class. And if you dislike those, as many of us do, and we're looking for broad-based tax alternatives on the theory you needed to spend the money that the governor wanted to spend, then David Paterson is much more likely to be thoughtful and reflective about those kinds of alternatives than Elliot was when he made this campaign promise not to raise broad-based taxes.
So now we have an issue. Brodsky calls on Paterson to raise taxes on the rich?
Well, yes, in the end, even though I don't think this is the day to do that. There'll be a time and a place for that, and I want to hasten to add again that the reason to do that is to provide property tax relief around the state, and the reason to do that is to do away with the series of fees and nuisances and tolls and fare increases that Elliot had proposed. It is healthy to some extent to talk about the policy differences, but in the end, the drama of the moment and the fall from grace is the most powerful thing that's going on up here now. I do want to add one other thing. I think David will very successfully, very quickly, and very permanently change the tone of the public debate. One of the great losses in New York over the last years has been any question of civil disagreement. And I think David understands that. I've spoken to him about it privately in matters. He'd like to change that. And not just political leaders, but in many cases editorial boards have really encouraged a contemptuous attitude to people with whom they disagree in recent years. And I look forward to David immediately, in his first public statements, beginning to change that.
Senator Golden, your thoughts at this moment of transition?
Well, it's a sad day for the state of New York. It's a sad day for the Spitzer family. You just have to take a look at that poor woman standing next to Governor Spitzer the other day, and it brings tears to your eyes. This individual has been in free fall since last year. He's violated the trust of the people of the state of New York, and I think we just turned a page in that chapter and closed that chapter, and as my colleague in the Assembly has said, is to move on and to try to heal this state and to show the people across the state of New York that we're here to govern and that we're going to put solid footing under this state for the future and not be a laughingstock around the nation as we presently are. I think that's what the people want to hear. They want to hear that we're going to balance this budget in the next 20 days. And they also want to hear that we're not going to raise taxes. Tax is a tax is a tax, regardless of who you place the tax on. And I think the what we don't seem to get in this great state capital is that we have to reduce spending. We are addicted to spending. And if we can reduce spending, we will reduce taxes across the board for the people of the state of New York.
Well, you're a Republican in the state Senate. David Paterson is a Democrat in the state Senate. Do you have any indication that he is likely to do, and probably he doesn't even know his own mind at this point, this is all happening so suddenly and unexpectedly, but do you have any indication that he might do what Assemblyman Brodsky just urged him to do, which is revisit the budget, remove some of these fees and tolls and other ways of raising funds for the state at this time of a big budget deficit that may hit the middle class harder, and look more at a broad-based income tax restructuring that would hit the wealthier? Do you think that, David Paterson may be inclined to do that?
I believe that we in the Senate and in the Assembly, we start our conference committees this week. We'll go in and we will remove and talk about what we believe is good for the city and for the state of New York. And we'll remove a lot of these fees and we'll reassess the revenues that are coming into the state of New York and have a more focused number as to what the spending is and what the what dollars are actually in the coffers here in the state of New York. I believe that any tax increase is the wrong signal, and I believe that the we want this governor to do well, and I believe the Assembly and the Senate will work closely to put this state back on proper footing. And to do what is exactly right and not raise taxes and come up with a proposal that works for the for all the people across the state.
Assemblyman Brodsky, you're known as one of the biggest opponents of congestion pricing in the legislature. There is the March 31st deadline for the legislature and the governor to approve a congestion pricing plan of some kind in order to get this $350 billion in federal funds. It was going to be hard enough to figure out whether to pass it or defeat it before this. Do you have an indication whether Governor Paterson will be a strong proponent of congestion pricing and try to push this through?
I don't know. And I want to, before I answer that quite directly, I want to point out that I don't necessarily believe David will want to revisit things like the choice I proposed about a broad-based tax versus these nuisance taxes in his first act as governor. I think there's going to be likely a tendency to want to do something quick that defers the most controversial decisions to a supplemental budget later in the year. Mm-hmm. My point is not so much about immediate action as a broad philosophical direction that I think we're likely to see from David. As to congestion pricing, well, I think this does, since Elliot had politically committed to support this in conjunction with the mayor, it removes a political support for it, and it means that it's more likely to be decided on the merits of the proposal, that the muscle piece is likely to be less than it was. That's good for those of us who think this is a regressive policy for New York. It means that we are going to be able to make our reasoned arguments, and I believe in the end that we will succeed with those.
Senator Golden, as I said, you are a Republican in the state Senate, and David Paterson is a Democrat. Do you know him? Do you like him? What can you tell us about David Paterson?
Well, first on the congestion pricing, We have a $29 billion MTA budget to resolve, the capital budget to resolve over the next 3 to 4 weeks. We have a $124 billion budget to resolve at the state level and general operating and funds. We have a serious flaw in our MTA funding, and that we need additional express buses, additional trains. We need construction done. We need real work done in the city of New York and the surrounding counties so that we can get people in and out of the city. I don't know how we're not going to do congestion pricing. I don't know where the money is going to come from to be able to balance the $29 billion MTA budget. Having said that, I believe that the congestion pricing is on the table and will probably proceed to some degree.
Do you think its chances change in either direction?
I think it's the design of it may change and the some of its principles may change, but I believe that the overall congestion pricing will go into effect to some degree, and to be able to offset the MTA losses and offset the MTA capital plan. There is no other money there, and the revenues in the state of New York keep dropping as we speak. So I think it's going to be very, very difficult not to entertain that congestion pricing, as long as there is a result that the people of the state of New York, the people of the city of New York, get a better transportation facility at the end of the day. I think people are willing to do that.
Do you think that the politics of the congestion pricing debate change with the changing of the guard in the governor's mansion?
I don't think it changes too much. I think that the new governor will be on his desk will be the these budgets, and he is obligated as the governor of the state of New York to balance those budgets. And as I said, the last thing that people of this state and the downturn of this economy and this mortgage disaster we have going across the nation is to think about raising taxes or fees on anybody of any class here in the city and state of New York. So he has a very difficult challenge ahead of him with few options. So it'd be very interesting to see what happens. Getting back to himself, I find him to be, as my colleague has stated, a enjoyable individual to talk with. He's witty, he's bright, he's smart. He's been in the legislature, unlike Eliot Spitzer. He's been here for 18 years. He knows the process. He knows how it works. He has some friendships that he's grown with, and I believe that helps him in the future of being the governor of the state of New York. And I think we personally wish him well, and we're obviously going to have our challenges as to philosophy and progressive approach that he may take. But at the end of the day, we got to do what's right for the people of the city and state of New York, and I believe he'll do well.
Assemblyman Brodsky,
can we talk about this change in tone for a moment? Because if you'll recall the debates, even as I've been on your show and reading the New York Times, there's been this sense that the characterization of, let's just take the two legislative leaders, Joe Bruno and Shelley Silver, as neo-corrupt, dysfunctional, one can agree with that or disagree with it. I don't want to get into that. I do want to get into the consequence of a constant drumbeat of demonization as a long-term problem in political terms. And I think that's what's happened in New York, very unfortunately, and I think David's going to change that.
So you both,
in the long run, the vocabulary of dispute around here will matter as much as the substantive disagreements, and I think we're going to see a real improvement, and that's going to be in everyone's interest.
It's clear that everybody is looking forward to that change in tone. However, Governor Pataki had a more collegial relationship with the legislature. He came out of the legislature, and everybody complained about gridlock in Albany for the 12 years before Eliot Spitzer, and he was supposed to come in as, you know, the former sheriff of Wall Street to clean things up. And one question surrounding David Paterson today is, will he be tough enough as governor?
No, I think the problem with Governor Pataki, Governor Pataki did very well. There was very little gridlock in the beginning years. What happens is, as you've seen in the years of governors, when they get into the more than 8 years in office, you seem to get that gridlock and you seem to get disaffected, and you just don't see government working the way it should. And I think administrations get stale, and in some cases, the some people may say that happened to Governor Pataki. We thought that Governor Pataki, I believe, brought this state in the right direction. I think Eliot Spitzer somehow managed to stall government completely. I believe that this new governor will give us the ability to move forward with a different tone. Our philosophical differences will be the same, but the tone of those debates will be different.
Richard Brodsky,
I think more will be accomplished.
From your perspective as a Democrat in the Assembly, is David Paterson tough enough?
Oh yeah, don't let you know. We should not confuse toughness with meanness, and I think that may be something that's happened over the last several years. David is smart and decisive and a progressive, and in many ways, exactly what the state needed when Eliot ran. If Eliot is going to leave any legacy of that's positive, he had the wisdom to choose David. The need here is, in the short run, is to bring stability to the processes that are underway, which means, I think, a quick a resolution of the non-controversial budget items and a deferral of the others to later in the session, a change in tone, a change in some of the staffing that Eliot brought to him, and a realization that prosecutors don't always make great public officials.
Republican State Senator Marty Golden from Brooklyn, Democratic Assemblyman Richard Brodsky from Westchester. Yet a new era in New York State is about to begin. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you very
much.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. The word today, Governor Spitzer will resign at 11:30 this morning. He is expected to make the announcement publicly. We will, of course, carry it live. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.